Blog Talk.
Me say some of we blessed till we fool. Me a prodigal, say blessings are ready to. Me a dead, dead, dead. Not stressed. Imagine cause I'm tired, cause I'm over, I'm supposed to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
No, say me well blessed in my life, a pure peace and happiness in my face, man. You can't find no stress. Me love God, so not that me I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. Hey, I'm too blessed to be blessed. Too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be blessed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. My name is Evangelist Faith Reed, and I'm glad that you have tuned in with me. Today we are continuing to talk about having faith in the midst of trouble. Our subtopic today is, have you taken root? Have you taken root? We know that every strong tree has good roots. And so today I want to talk to you about having a good foundation in God. In order to have faith in times of need, you must have a strong foundation. I've been talking to you for a little while about the need to have faith. And once again, the definition, Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you have faith? I want to encourage you to have faith tonight. Let us pray. Bow your heads with me and let us pray. Father, I just bless you. I lift up your holy name. I magnify you. I bless you, Lord God, for all those who are tuning in tonight, or it might be morning someplace around the world where they are. Lord, I bless you right now, oh God, for those who are seeking after your face, for those who are seeking to know you. Lord, I thank you for them. And I pray, God, that you would just continue to bless them, bless their families, oh God, as they seek to know you. And Lord God, as we break bread together, God, I pray that you would open up our understanding, oh God, so that we can know you more. And Lord, we say thanks to you for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we get into our word tonight, I want you to know that at around 10 p.m., you can call in and talk with me. The number is 347-215-7267 if you would like to talk with me tonight. We're going to begin in the Bible tonight from Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And we will be looking at verses 1 to verse 20. The Bible says, and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that had ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. I want you to know, my friend, that Jesus spoke in parables. When he was speaking to his disciples, he spoke to them in parables. He was a great storyteller. And I don't know about you, but I love to read wonderful stories. And when I'm working with children, I love to tell great stories. Jesus was a storyteller. He tried to teach us things by giving us examples of what we ought to know and what we should do. And so in Mark chapter 4, he began to teach them by the seaside. Must have been a beautiful seaside. Years ago, there wasn't as much pollution. There wasn't as much, you know, thrown on the ground and thrown into the sea. And so it must have been a beautiful seaside where he stood there and taught them. And the Bible said that he went out into a ship and sat on the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. I imagine that so many people wanted to see Jesus that he had to push out from the land and actually stand in a boat and talk to them. Wouldn't it be wonderful today if so many people became so interested in the things of God that we had to hold more outside services to hold the people? There were so many people interested in what Jesus had to say because of the miracles and what have you that he was doing, that they bombarded him, and he had to go out into a ship in order to continue teaching them. The Bible tells us in this story that he went out and taught them according to what they needed to know. Look at verse 3. It says, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. If you have ever planted anything in a garden, you understand that in order to get something, you've got to plant something in the ground. You cannot get something out of nothing. You have to plant something in the ground in order to get a return, whether it be corn or whether it be wheat. It does not matter what it is. You must plant something in the ground in order to get something in return. Jesus encourages us to be someone who sows and who expects a good return. The Bible says it came to pass as he sowed in verse 4. Some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Now, if we were to go down to the 11th verse, the disciples began to ask Jesus, well, Jesus, what do you mean by this? What do you mean by some fell on good ground and some didn't fall on good ground? What do you mean by this? And he began to explain to them, because if you look at verse 7, you'll see that it says, Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. So let's read it, verse 11. And I'm using the King James Version. I'm in Mark chapter 4. He said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. Verse 13, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, can you imagine being in the hearing of Jesus himself, hearing the word proceeding out of his mouth, and then immediately leaving and then not even bothering to continue pondering the things that Jesus said? What he said to them was, when a sower sows, in other words, when you put a seed in the ground, you actually expect it to grow. It is not your expectation that you are going to waste all your time planting something and then have it not grow. If you plant some apple trees, you expect them to produce apples. You expect that when it's time to harvest them that you're going to have some fruit to harvest. And it is the expectation of God that when we hear the word of God, that we take it to heart, that we actually not just hear the word, but we actually apply it to our lives, and we actually go out and tell someone about Jesus. The Bible says in verse 15, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So what does that tell us? It tells us that when the word of God is spoken to us, we must guard our hearts against confusion, against tricks of the enemy, where he will try to get us so discouraged that we will not want to continue serving God. We must guard against people who will befriend us in hopes of getting us to get sidetracked, but in the end, their motives are wrong, and they seek to destroy you and to get you out of the kingdom of God. The Bible instructs us that we must be careful of allowing or not allowing Satan to come in and immediately steal our joy, steal our happiness, and steal our peace, because the enemy of our souls would like to do this. He would like to get us so discouraged that we would immediately go back to what we were doing before whenever disappointments come. Everyone knows that if you have lived long enough in this world, there might be a time or two when you have a disappointing moment. All of us have been there and done that. The bottom line is, when things don't go as you expect them to go, don't be discouraged, but actually find a way to flip that situation. In other words, it doesn't matter how bad it looks, things are going to get better. Doesn't matter how it seems dim, things are going to get lighter for you. God has already promised us in his word that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And I don't know who is listening at the moment, but for you, you and you, that is listening to my voice right now, I want to encourage you to be strong. I want to encourage you to hold on a little while longer. I want to encourage you to not allow the cares of this life to discourage you, but allow God to touch your heart. Allow him to stir up that joy once again. Allow him to stir up that peace once again. Because truly God loves you. He cares about you. And I know for a fact that there's nothing too hard for God to do. Nothing. Nothing too hard for God to do. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness." You know, there are times when we hear the word of God and we receive it with gladness. And for some reason, we keep that joy just for a little while. But then there comes a time in our life when something happens and we lose all of that ground that we have gained. We must guard against that. Verse 17 says, "And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time." Have you met some folks who they cried at the altar and they, you know, seemed very sincere, and then a year passed, another 6 months passed, and you look around for them and you can't find them. And you're wondering, well, what happened to that individual? And you realize that what happened is that they did not get a good foundation in God. You see, it's easy to be a churchgoer, but hard to be a disciplined person who loves the word of God and loves prayer and loves to seek God with all their heart. As a new believer, and even as a seasoned believer, you must learn how to pray. You must learn how to open up your Bible and read it and seek God for his direction in your life. Many people start as Christians, but not many people endure until the end. You see, you can compare serving God or being a Christian, a follower of Christ, to a triathlon where many people start, and because the journey is long and vigorous, not many people make it to the finish line. Some people get tired. They you know, realize that perhaps what they thought were going to be great rewards were not there. And so they turn around on the journey. And so at the end of a triathlon, there are only a few people that make it to that, you know, ribbon where they can run through the ribbon with their hands up, because they get so caught up in the aches of their feet or their back or their leg or what have you that they don't make it to that finish line. We are like those triathlon runners. We start, but we allow things to distract us. I want to encourage you, my friend, don't allow things to distract you from serving God. Don't allow things to distract you from praising God. Praise God in the midst of your problems. Praise God in the midst of your pain. It does not matter what you're going through right now. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to hold on. Be encouraged. Be strengthened. Realize that God is about to make a way for you today, right now. This might be the word that you need to just get you up. Take a deep breath. Your second wind is coming right now. Don't give up on God. Realize that God is encouraging you and giving you strength right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, let's just take a moment and bless him right now. We praise you, hallelujah. We bless your name, Jesus. We magnify you, hallelujah. I thank you for that one that is coming out of depression right now. I thank you for that one that was stressed out, but you're strengthening them right now. I bless you. I magnify your holy name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, you're worthy to be praised, Jesus. We bless you right now. Look at verse 19. The Bible says, well, let's back up to verse 17. The Bible says, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Do you know many people who have been offended and who have walked away? It is the mark of a mature Christian that when other Christians say some things about you, that you do not immediately get offended, but you understand that perhaps they're going through a difficult time in their lives and they need for you to pray for them, for you to not be judgmental about that momentary lapse that they're having, but that you pray for them and help them to understand that they need to take root. Taking root, if I would tell you what taking root in my mind means, it means establishing yourself in Jesus, establishing yourself in God in such a way that it doesn't matter what you go through in life, you will not give up and you will not stop praying and you will not stop blessing God, because truly God is worthy to be praised. Look at verse 18. It says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Notice in verse 19 it says that those who allow the lust, deceitfulness of riches, how many times have we had these contests that they mail to us in the mail, and it promises great riches and millions of dollars, and we go after them, and we don't realize that we don't need to go after riches, that immediate gratification, but we must understand that hard work does pay off, that God is able to bless us without us going after false hopes through contests or through the casino or through the lottery or whatever it is that is some kind of chance that's making you throw your money away, trying to seek after riches. The Bible says, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word of God out. These things that we focus on other than God can choke the word of God out of us. And God does not want us to be choked, but he wants us to understand that he alone can take care of us. In other words, God said that he is a provider, he is a helper, he is a strength to all those who seek him, who seek to know him. I know I have a witness out there that God is good and that God can provide everything that you have need of. Verse 20 says, and these are they which are sown on good ground. A person who understands that God is able to do great things in their life is a person who is sown on good ground. You know why? Because it doesn't matter what happens in your life, you will not go anywhere. You will continue to read your Bible and pray and understand that things are going to get better. I'm live on the air, 347-215-7267. If you would like to talk to me tonight, you can give me a call. I want to encourage you to allow God to touch your heart and touch your mind. When you allow him to do this, then you will understand that you can be stable. Stability is a mark of a mature Christian. Stability. Stability means that you're not a Christian today and you're telling someone that you're not a Christian tomorrow. Stability means that you are consistent in what you say and what you do, and you understand that God is making a way for you. Oh, give God some praise. Hallelujah. I magnify you. I magnify your name, Jesus. Is there someone who understands that God cares? The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus himself is concerned about all of your cares. He wants you to cast your care upon him because he cares for you. When no one understands, Jesus knows. When it seems like no one can help, Jesus can. When you realize that there must be more to life than you have seen, you're absolutely right, because God loves you. He cares about you. And I want you to know right now that Jesus can heal the wounded heart. He can comfort the troubled mind. He is fellowship for a lonely heart. He is relief for a haunted soul. He's assurance for a heart filled with fear. I want you to know that God hears you. He understands what you are going through. And he knows everything about you. Come to Jesus. And when you come to him, I want you to understand that all you have to do is pray that prayer of salvation. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. My friend, if you're listening to me today, God ordained it so that you should hear this message. God ordained it so that you should pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart. If you would pray and invite him into your heart, acknowledge that he is the Son of God, that he died on the cross and rose from the dead for you. Acknowledge that he truly loves you, he truly cares about you, and that there's nothing too hard for God to do. You see, the word of God that Jesus mentioned in Mark chapter 4, it's like a message being preached in a chapel. And when the word of God was preached, many got happy and they jumped and they shouted and they, you know, enjoyed the time in church. But when they left out of church, for some reason, the word did not stick with them. And so they did not go with the word. How many times have you heard the word? How many times have you left with the word of God in your heart, in your mind? And then once you got down to your very last dollar, or you found yourself in a situation where you fell out with your best friend, for some reason you decided that, you know, you weren't going to follow through with Jesus and you turned your back on him. My friend, don't do that. The Bible says, be one of those people who stands, who holds on, who continues to serve God. Mark chapter 4, if we continue with the 21st verse, it says, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that had, to him shall be given. And he that had not, from him shall be taken away. Even that which he had. My friend, listen to the word of God. God wants you to hear and understand right now that he loves you, he cares about you. But he wants you to be that candlestick that stands out, that candlestick that's able to tell someone else about Jesus, that candlestick that is stable enough to bring light to a lost and dying world. The world needs to hear about Jesus. Join the family of God. Join others in understanding that God is truly King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that he is here to help you and to encourage you. But first, you must have a root. You must have a foundation. You must have stability in Christ and understand that he is going to help you to be firm. What you learn as a new Christian is what is going to keep you for a long time to come. Listen to this story, because I want you to know that your attitude is everything. Our main topic that we have been studying is having faith in times of trouble. And so tonight I talk to you about taking root, but in order to take root, you must get your mind focused on the fact that God is able to give you strength. Listen to this mental attitude, because mental attitude is everything. Baby elephants are trained early. The primary concern is to control him because of the great strength he'll be developing. This control is established early while the elephant is small and not very strong. A chain is placed around his leg and attached to a 3-foot stake, which is driven into the ground. For the first few days, the elephant tugs and strains at the stake and the chain, but he is unable to dislodge it. He is soon convinced the 3-foot stake and chain have the power to keep him bound, and soon quits the attempt to free himself. 10 years later, the elephant is fully grown, weighing several thousand pounds. He is capable of uprooting trees, pulling, or pushing loaded railway cars, yet he can still be held by a three-foot stake. Is it really the stake and chain that holds the big elephant? Certainly not. It's his mental attitude holding him back. The same is true for too many Christians. They become chained to small spiritual growth, small blessings, small incomes, because of fixes in their minds. They're afraid to let go. My friend, are you afraid to let go? They're afraid to let go or to trust God completely. Mental attitudes, it's everything. When it's positive, it's the greatest thing for us. When the mental attitude is not what it should be, we are held and bound by small things because we fail to think big things. What is your attitude like tonight or today, wherever you're listening from? What is your attitude like? Do you have the attitude that you can do all things through Christ that strengthened you? Do you have the attitude that you are an overcomer? Do you have an attitude that you are the head and not the tail? Do you have the attitude that you are the lender and not the borrower? I encourage you to get the right attitude. God wants you to have a strong foundation. He wants you to be encouraged and to be strengthened. He wants you to have the heart of Christ, to be kind to your neighbor, to encourage those that are weak, those that need strength, to be a help to those that can't help themselves. God wants you to understand that you can prosper in times of instability in the economy. He wants you to understand that although it seems impossible, that God is a God of the impossible, there is nothing that God cannot assist you with. There is nothing too hard in your life. It doesn't matter what you're coming against. It doesn't matter what the enemy has tried to tell you about your future. God has your future in his hands, and God is able to turn things around for you right now. I know you've heard me say it, and you'll hear me say it over and over again. My friend, be encouraged. Be strengthened. Know that God loves you. Know that he is working it out for you right now. Don't get stuck in self-pity. Don't get stuck with negative people who want to tell you that you can't make it, who want to tell you that things are not going to get better. I'm telling you right now that things are going to get better for you. I'm telling you that you are stepping into the greatest time of your life. This is a new season for you. God is about to bless you. God is about to do great things, miraculous things in your life. This is the time of your life when you should be saying, God, I throw up my hands to you. I acknowledge that you are the great Jehovah Jireh. I understand that you have already set things in place for my life. I understand that you truly, truly are the one that has already prepared bread for me, that my basket will never be empty. I know that you have successful plans in place. Oh, you've got my back, even when others do not understand me and want to speak negative things against me. Lord, I know that you're working things out for me. I want you to just take a moment and just bless God right now. Praise God right now, because God understands what you're going through. He knows everything. And God says that he has not left you, my dear friend. He is helping you even right now. Take a moment and just bless him and thank him for what he has already done, for what he's about to do in your life, for the great things that he has in store for you. God is truly your helper. He is truly looking out for you. I want you to hear a song right now. And the song said, "He touched me." I want you to listen to this song and be blessed by it. He touched me. And I'll be back in just one moment.
Touch me.
Blessed by that song, He Touched Me. We're going to close this session with Psalms 119, beginning at the 33rd verse. If you would like to talk with me, the number is 347-215-7267. Teach me, the Bible says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. God has called us to have a good foundation, to have a solid root. In other words, just like a strong tree. If a hurricane comes or a big storm comes, some trees blow down, but others remain standing. Those trees remain standing because they have a solid root. I want you to know that God is calling us to understand His statutes, to understand His word. He is calling us to incline our ear unto Him, so that we can understand His testimonies, so that we could turn away from things that dangle in front of our eyes that are just vanity. They look alluring. The world does look alluring. But the bottom line is that whatever seems appealing is not that appealing if we would understand that the things of God are more important than riches and what have you. It's okay to have riches as long as we put God first, because the love of money is the root of all evil. Don't love money so much, my friend, that you forget to serve God, that you forget God's place in your life. Let us go into prayer as we pray and ask God to encourage and to strengthen you tonight. Father, we just lift you up. We bless your holy name, O God. We magnify you. Lord, I thank you for everyone that is listening to me tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for everyone that understands that you have already made a way for their family, O God, for their loved ones. I thank you, Lord God, for remembering people in nations around the world. I thank you for remembering leaders around the world. God, give them your knowledge, wisdom, understanding. I pray, Lord God, for those that need encouragement right now, that you might strengthen them. I pray, oh God, for those that are sick in their bodies, sick in their minds, oh God. I pray, Lord God, for mental stability, emotional stability, financial stability, oh God. I pray, oh God, for one that is listening right now, God, to this, Lord, forum. I thank you, Lord God, that this person that's listening, Father, oh God, has had trouble hearing out of their left ear. God, I thank you for healing that ear right now. I thank you, Lord God, for someone who has been struggling to walk. They've been in a wheelchair for many months. God, I thank you right now that that person's legs will be restored and they'll begin to walk. Lord, I thank you right now for someone who has been looking for a job for about 3 or 4 months. God, that they would be able to get that employment, oh God. Father, oh God, I thank you for that one that was seeking your face and for a while was not a believer. But God, I thank you that you are restoring their faith right now to believe in you, Jesus. I thank you right now that they are repenting of their sins and turning away from those things that are not pleasing to you. I thank you right now, God, that you are truly touching hearts and minds right now. I thank you, Lord God, that hearts and minds are turning away, Lord God, from the things that would cause them to stumble and to fall, but God, that they are looking to you, Lord, for your touch right now. I thank you for touching right now. I thank you for moving in a special way right now. Lord God, you understand. You know everything about us, Lord God, and we bless you right now. We praise you right now. I thank you, Lord God, for the one, Lord God, that is going to hear this message. God, that is looking to hear how much you love them, how much you care about them. Lord God, remember that man right now. Remember that woman right now. Remember that child right now. I thank you right now, God, that you are a way maker. Oh, God, I thank you because you are truly turning things around for somebody right now, someone that needs a breakthrough right now, someone that needs encouragement right now. I bless you. I honor you. I give you glory right now. Touch your people once again. Lord God, I pray that your people will not be discouraged. Oh, God. Lord, about the economy or anything else, but God, that your people will be strengthened day by day. Lord God, strengthen, Lord God, those that are sick. Oh, God, I thank you, God, for touching my body and for touching others, oh, God. Lord God, that needs special strength right now. Lord God, remember, oh, God, those, oh, God, that are struggling, oh, God, just to make it another day. I pray, oh God, that they would understand, Lord God, that they can make it. Oh God, that everything is going to be all right. I thank you right now, Lord God, that we don't have to struggle by ourselves, but I thank you right now, God, that you are with us. Oh God, you care about us. Oh God, you're helping us right now. Oh, I give you praise and glory and honor. Oh God, for your help right now. Oh, you are truly a way maker. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I bless you right now. I give you glory. I give you honor. I bless your name, God. Lord, you're touching somebody right now. Oh, God, you're restoring somebody right now. You're restoring a family right now. You're healing someone right now. Lord, I thank you that cancer is leaving their body, that tumor is leaving their body right now. I bless you. I lift up your name, Jesus. You alone are worthy to receive glory, honor, and praise. I lift you up right now, Jesus. Lord, your people need you. Oh, God, remember that family, oh, God, that needs shelter. Remember that family that needs food right now, God. I thank you, Lord God, that wherever this message is being heard, Lord God, that someone is being blessed right now. Lord, I thank you for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Friend, this is your season to be blessed. Lord, I thank you for hearing and for answering prayers right now in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your season to be blessed. This is your season to prosper. I want you to know that this is not your time to give up. I have a saying that I keep right on my computer. It says, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There is no such thing as can't. And what you believe you can achieve. My friend, if there is ever a time in your life that you need to hold on, it's right now. If there's ever a time in your life that you don't need to give up, it is right now. God hears and he answers prayers, and he's answering your prayer right now. I want you to be encouraged, be strengthened. Find someone to encourage, because when you encourage someone else, you will encourage yourself. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. I'm a witness that when you encourage someone else, you too will be encouraged. If there's someone wanting to talk to me right now, 347-215-7267, I just want to encourage you. Be a blessing to someone. Don't allow the enemy to destroy you, to discourage you. Understand this, that God cares about you. And when you understand that, you can make it through the storm, you can make it through the rain, you can make it through anything, because you realize that God truly remembers you. I'm going to allow you to listen to a song called When We All Get to Heaven. When We All Get to Heaven. Listen to this song.
Yeah.
Friend, I've enjoyed teaching you tonight. You've been listening to Vision. Our topic was having faith in times of trouble. Our subtopic was taking root. We came from Mark chapter 4 and also Psalms 119, beginning at the 33rd through the 40th verse. I want to encourage you to be strengthened in the Lord. I want to encourage you to hold on a little while longer. God loves you. He cares about you. Have a blessed time with God. This is your season to be blessed, and we'll be going out with Second Chance to Blessed. To bless, to be stressed. To bless, to be stressed. God bless you, and I will be studying with you again on tomorrow.
Mr. Summer, we bless still with food. Me a funny girl, the blessings are in him now. Me a David, imagine cause I'm talking about the cover of what to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed.
Hey, Robert.
I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Hey! Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In my life, a pure peace and happiness. In my face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be stressed. Hey, I'm too blessed. No thunder and storming, but then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes later from the stop start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place and shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Johnny and food in a dust pan. And from the news to the devil in a dust pan. Tell Satan to get hot. And I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Sing it out, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Oh God, I tell them I'm blessed.